Most of what you'll need for today's service is on the service sheet that's available on the church website, and it would also be useful to have a Bible available. The theme of this morning's service is seeking peace. The unusual times we're going through are challenging for our day-to-day lives in so many ways, not least in the effect on relationships with our friends and family. But in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus tells us that we can trust in him for peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We look forward to hearing further on this theme as John Bradley brings us our Bible teaching from Philippians later in the service. But we begin with a prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can trust in you in difficult times. Please still our hearts as we come into your presence this morning. Amen. Our first song is "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is Here."
Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and
to a time to confess our sins. Although we are the people of God, the Bible reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us through his infinite goodness and mercy. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence. A few moments for reflection before we say the confession together. So let's pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Since Jesus died for us, we have peace with God, to whom be praise and honor forever. Amen. Let's continue in prayer as we say together today's collect prayer. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those inexpressible joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand now as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Paul Davis will now bring us our Bible reading.
Morning. Today's reading comes from Philippians. It's chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. For those with the Church Bible, that can be found on page 1180. That's Philippians, chapter 4, verses 2 through to 9. Exhortations. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the Lord, word for the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Very good morning to everybody. And a particular thank you to Francis for asking me to speak on this memorable, great passage today in our series on St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, a passage which gives us great hope and encouragement. And my goodness, we need hope and encouragement this time, don't we, with another lockdown announced over the weekend. Paul, we remember, was writing from prison to thank the Philippians for a gift which they had sent him. But there were several important issues in the Philippian church which Paul needed to address to help the Philippians live a Christian life. And we've been looking at these in recent weeks. Last Sunday, Francis took us through the verses immediately preceding our passage today, where Paul explained there are essentially two ways to follow in our lives, for the Philippians and equally for us: the heavenly way with Jesus Christ, or the earthly way with those who deny the cross and deny the resurrection. Paul sums up the overall message of this letter in chapter 1, verse 27, in his guidance to the Philippians, and these words are going to be familiar to many of us. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And this advice is as relevant to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. So let's look together at what Paul is writing here to help us to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The advice, or exhortations, as the heading in my Bible calls them, so they're instructions, can be helpfully separated into three sections, which you'll see are included in the service sheet. The first one is Paul's presence in our relationships, and that's verses 2 to 3. Then God's presence in our daily living verses, and I've jumped to the end there, you'll see that's verses 8 and 9. And then the passage which I'm going to spend most time on today is God's presence in our anxieties, verses 4 to 7. So let's start in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we explore these verses together, open our hearts and minds that we may better learn how to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and so experience more deeply the peace and joy which comes only from knowing you. In your name we pray. Amen. I have to say, I wrote that prayer while preparing this service, and I was so struck by the collect today, which mirrors very much the prayer that we have just prayed. I commend the collect to you particularly. Anyway, now the first of our three sections, God's presence in our relationships. And if you have a Bible handy, then it would certainly help me if you had it open through this as we look at it together. Our passage starts straight off with Paul dealing with a broken relationship in the Philippian church, which was clearly causing real difficulties. Two faithful women, Euodia and Syntyche, who've been helping Paul with his ministry, contending at his side, have fallen out with each other big time. Paul doesn't tell us why this is so, but it's causing big problems in the church, and big enough for Paul to plead with each of them individually in an open letter to resolve their differences. In verse 2, Paul writes I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. There's no hiding place for them as they're directly addressed by name. For this letter was read aloud to the whole church family. Imagine their embarrassment in being named and shamed in this way. But typically, Paul takes a wise and a practical approach to the disagreement and calls for conciliation. He asks a church member in verse 3, not known by name, but a peacemaker whom Paul calls his loyal yoke member, to help the two women, along with Clement and the rest of the church members, whose names, he writes, are in the Book of Life. In other words, all marked for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So we see that these two women were godly people and might even have been on the BCC if such a thing existed at that time. And we see Paul wisely calling for conciliation. But we also see in verse 2, Paul elevating the solution from a practical to a spiritual level, from a human to a godly dimension. He pleads with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. In the Lord. To conciliate is good sense, but to agree with each other in the Lord is altogether different. And in the Lord seems to me to be the most important words in this little section. To be in the Lord is to have the same attitude as Jesus, founded on him and in submission to him. The attitude of humility and putting the interests of others first. Otherness, as Francis has described it. Agreeing in the Lord is inviting God's presence into this dispute. The failure of two Christians to make up their differences show how stubborn they and we can be, sticking to the certainty of our own rightness. There was nothing humble about the way Euodia and Syntyche were confronting each other in this disagreement. No oneness in spirit, no oneness in purpose, no otherness. And I'm sure we've all been there ourselves. In their dispute, they were certainly not in the Lord. They were far from him. One wonders how they would have felt when they heard the early part of the letter, chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, when they were read out aloud before they were actually named. In these verses, Paul describes what it is to be in the Lord. And you may remember these verses in describing how they, the Philippians, and we should have the mind of Christ. Paul writes, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded with Christ, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." What a great description that is for being in the Lord. How would Euodia and Syntyche have felt hearing these words? Would it have convicted them? We don't know, but it should have done. And in similar circumstances, show it should for us. May all our relationships, all our friendships, be in the Lord. For then we invite God to be present there, to give us the mind of Christ, humility and otherness, so well described in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. If we are in the Lord, we will be in harmony and at peace with each other. If we are in the Lord, we will surely find peace in our relationships. If Euodia and Syntyche had been in the Lord, their disagreement would have been resolved at a very early stage. So moving on now to the second part of the passage, God's presence in our daily living, verses 8 and 9. These two verses follow on very well from Francis's passage last Sunday, Two Ways to Follow. For now, Paul gives us very helpful guidance on how to stay on the right course, towards heaven with Jesus Christ, and how to keep off the wrong course, caught up in the world and with those who deny Jesus, his death and resurrection. And we do need help, as the world constantly tries to lead us to places where God would not want us to go. On screen, in print and radio, we seem to be bombarded from every angle with words and images which intrude into our consciousness and seek to lead us away from the good, towards greed and envy rather than contentment, towards unseemly thoughts rather than nobility and purity, towards a tolerance of half-truth and deceit rather than what is right and true. That all sounds rather bleak, doesn't it? But Paul has the answer and gives us here such simple, wise and practical advice. Dwell only on the good and put that into practice. Dwell only on the good and put that into practice. In verse 8 he writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Isn't it refreshing just to read those words together? How do they chime with our perception of the world as we look out? Noble, right, pure, true, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Isn't that just a great encouragement in themselves, those wonderful words? And wouldn't it be great if we could achieve these values? Wouldn't it be great if they were a proper description of ourselves? And with God's help, they can be. Paul instructs us that we must dwell only on good things and practice them in our lives. We mustn't be drawn into bad things, for they too will unavoidably affect how we live. That great American singer and actor, Bing Crosby, may not have been a theologian, but he got it right with his song, "Accentuate the Positive, Eliminate the Negative." It's a truism, isn't it, that within us, what's within us, shows in our outward behaviour. If we focus on what's right, we'll live rightly. If we focus on what's wrong, we'll live wrongly. What we think about affects how we live. So I ask myself, what secret thoughts or images do I have in mind? Do you have in mind which we'd rather were not there in the first place? What are we tempted to explore, where it would be unwise to go? Paul implies just in a few words, don't go there, don't even inquire. On the contrary, think of what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. We pray, don't we, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And by God's grace, he will help us to think only on the good and put that into practice. We cannot do it in our own strength, only by his grace. And what's the result of our effort to dwell only what is good and holy? Paul writes in verse 9, "The God of peace will be with you." That peace which guards our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we move on now to our third and last point, verses 4 to 7, God's presence in our anxieties. These verses begin, as Paul has read to us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." When I first read this, it seemed odd to me immediately to have having addressed serious disagreement in the church, Paul immediately instructs the church family to rejoice. Is there not a disconnect between the harm the dispute between Euodia and Syntyche had. Is there not a disconnect between that and rejoicing? Well, there isn't, because if we've been following this series in Philippians, we'll know that rejoicing in the Lord is quite different from and so much more than just being happy. The joy Paul mentions here isn't dependent on circumstances, nor is it a joy which wavers when happiness goes. Paul is instructing the Philippians to look beyond their present troubles and to seek that unique and lasting joy which only comes from a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A joy founded on gratitude and acceptance of what Jesus has done for us and what he will do for us. Happiness disappears in hard times. Joy in Christ endures. And we see here that Paul isn't asking them to rejoice, but commanding them to do so, whatever the circumstances. We've already seen that joy in the Lord is a central theme of this letter. In fact, the Life Application Study Bible, I see, asserts that this verse is actually the key verse of the whole letter. There may be other views on that, but it's clearly joy is exceedingly important. And rejoicing in the Lord is to recognize who Jesus is and to rejoice in all he is to us and all he has done for us. When we rejoice in the Lord, it has the effect of introducing us to the right perspective of everything else, and no more so than when we're in troubled times, as indeed we are. Through God's mercy and grace, we can find profound contentment and peace, no matter what happens, through knowing Christ personally and depending on his strength rather than on our own. What a wonderful thing it is to rejoice in the Lord. It would have given Euodia and Syntyche the right perspective on their disagreement. Rejoicing in the Lord helps us to count our blessings, to acknowledge that all good things come from God, and to generate within us a deep sense of joy which remains when the going gets tough. Rejoicing in the Lord takes it out of ourselves and places us in the presence of our loving Lord and Saviour. We've seen so often in this letter that Paul's joy in the Lord remained undiminished by his imprisonment, brutal treatment, and the possibility of a martyr's death. He had every reason to be unhappy, but no, he rejoices in the Lord. Going back to the text, Paul then instructs the Philippians in verse 5, "Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near." Given the tension in the church, which the disagreement between Euodia and Syntyche was causing, Paul's words were well chosen. "Let your gentleness be evident to all," and would have taken the heat out of the situation to calm emotions, avoid escalation, and restore peace and harmony. But Paul significantly also reminded them that the Lord is near. Again, critical words and an affirmation that the Lord was present as reconciliation in their dispute, to grant his peace and to calm troubled hearts. The Lord was near to the Philippians. The Lord is and remains near to us too. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, verse 20. God was greater than the matter then in dispute, and God is greater than all the difficulties that we face. Paul then continues in verses 6 to 7 with this encouragement: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." In these words, Paul gives us wonderful advice on how to face adversity. In life, we cannot avoid difficulties. We cannot avoid adversity. but by God's mercy and grace, we can face them with confidence in him. In prison and under threat of execution, Paul has much to be worried about. Is he worried? Not a hint. Does he complain? Not at all. On the contrary, he writes of freedom from anxiety, prayer rather than self-pity, gratitude rather than need, and peace in heart and mind rather than the burden of worry. What an example to us as we confront the difficulties in our lives. And again, these aren't just suggestions from Paul, nor is it an exercise in positive thinking. It's a clear instruction, an exhortation to the Philippians not to be anxious about anything, but instead to pray, and equally to us that we shouldn't be anxious about anything, but instead pray about our concerns, bring them to the Lord, and so ease our minds. And the result? That we enjoy that peace of God which transcends all understanding. How might we describe that peace? Here's a suggestion. Not out of my own mind, this is a lot of study preparing for today, and I've been reading authors on this, and the Bible is the ultimate source, but here's a suggestion. An inner tranquility based on peace with God, the peaceful state of those whose sins are forgiven and who are enveloped in God's loving arms. Tranquility comes when we commit all our cares to God in prayer. And beyond our understanding, because our minds are just not able to grasp the full dimension of God's love and care for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We read in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 9. God so cares for us. Well, I don't know about you, but I do find it difficult to put some of this into practice, what Paul is teaching here, and not to worry. In fact, health issues, bereavements, and all the consequences of COVID-19 create very real concerns which have to be faced and may therefore be causing us worry and anxiety. Indeed, we may be feeling burdened as I speak. What should our response be? Well, as a worrier myself, I found help on this in this book here, Stephen Lawson's Philippians View, which Francis very helpfully suggested we might have a look at when we're studying Philippians. Dr. Lawson has helped me with this, and he's reminded us that not only does worry rob us of peace, it also compromises our faith in God. I find that quite a challenge. But Dr. Lawson reminds us too that to be anxious is to be disobedient to God, for worry is a failure to trust that God is in control. Worry is looking at my problems in reliance on what I can do, rather than looking to the Lord in dependence on him. Worry is the failure to believe the promises of God in his word. So how do we counteract the worry and anxiety which we carry with us? One way is to remind ourselves of God's promises. And here's a special promise in 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13, God will never allow us through trial or temptation to experience more than we can handle, although not in our own strength, but by his grace and through the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit. And the antidote to worry, as we have seen, is prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So everything to God in prayer, and nothing held back in anxiety. In prayer, we share with God our needs and troubles. Not that God needs to be told either our wants or desires, for he knows them better than we can tell him. But in prayer, he will hear it from us, and we can pray with thanksgiving, showing how dependent we are on him, showing how we value his mercy and grace, and expressing our gratitude for all he has graciously provided for us. And the result, we'll be granted that peace of God which transcends all our understanding, which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I couldn't end this talk better than with the first verse of that lovely and moving 19th century hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, which captures so well the message of this passage. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. At the beginning of this service, Roy read John 14, verse 27, and I'm going to repeat that because it is an assurance from Jesus Christ himself. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's all I want to say, but I'd like to draw these three lines together in conclusion in a prayer together. So let us pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for what he has achieved for us on the cross, for his mercy and grace extended to us. Help us, we ask, that in our relationships and in our daily living we may be in the Lord, that our attitude may be the same as that of Jesus, and we are sorry when we fail. We thank you for all the good things in life, for honesty, integrity, beauty, generosity. We're sorry when we fall short of what you would wish for us. Please work in our lives that we may live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we thank you that you are always near us and that we are instructed to bring our anxieties and needs to you in prayer. We ask that the Holy Spirit will give us strength to handle the difficulties we face, and that by entrusting our anxieties to you, so we may truly enjoy your peace, the peace which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Well, John, thank you so much for those words of encouragement this morning. And there's only one way to follow on from that, and that's with our next song, which is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Discouraged.
Now lead us in our prayers.
Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for today that we have been able to attend this morning service at Fordham Church. And for those unable to be part of today's congregation, we know can hear the service on live stream or on the podcast later on. We pray that over the next few weeks, the COVID virus will come under control and the number of infections will decrease. We earnestly ask that all the nurses, doctors, surgeons, and associated staff of the NHS and those in the care profession may receive your guidance and strength to face this challenging time once again. We remember those that have lost their lives to the virus, and we pray for their families in their time of both grief and need. We give thanks for all the food stores that have remained open during these past few months of extreme uncertainty, and that their staff have remained committed and diligent in their work, enabling us all to have our food and other essentials in our homes, week in, week out. But we give thanks most of all for those working in the food banks, charities and Samaritans who have continued to supply essential goods and services to those most in need, those struggling to manage or cope, who are much less fortunate than ourselves. We pray for the young footballer Marcus Rashford, for his strength and conviction in making known the awareness of children going without food. May you give him encouragement and wisdom to continue in his good work. As Black History Month comes to an end, we pray that we have learnt from the past, and that no one should be persecuted or enslaved on account of their origins or the colour of their skin. Also, we should not forget the good work that organisations such as Christian Concern and the Christian Institute do in supporting those individuals who are persecuted and ostracised for their beliefs in upholding the faith. Our heartfelt prayers go out to all the citizens of France following the terrible terrorist attack in Nice that took place there earlier this week. And we hope and pray that the country returns to peace and calm once again very soon. This most tragic and completely unnecessary loss of so many innocent people's lives, affecting the families and friends of so many far and wide, is also felt right across the globe. Also, our sincere thoughts and prayers go out to the Greek Orthodox priest who was seriously injured in a shooting in the French city of Lyon yesterday. And we ask most entreatingly for his speedy recovery as well as for the safety of all clergy and laity who work in churches around the globe. We pray too for the citizens of America as they face another future-defining presidential election in the coming week ahead. And we hope that our British government too will continue to build and foster a good, mutually profitable relationship with our greatest allies. We ask that Frances, Georgina and their family had a good rest in the half-term holiday, and that Frances will return refreshed, recharged and ready to manage the busy season ahead, with both Remembrance Sunday and Christmas season just around the corner. Can we please now just take a few moments in peace and quiet reflection as we think about those closest to us, and especially those in need, as we pray for our church, our families, and our own relevant personal thoughts to our Father in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we are facing some troubling times as we sit in the midst of an unprecedented situation with the pandemic still ongoing. Indeed, we know many people are feeling particularly isolated, frightened, or lonely. Maybe they are in a care home, unable to see their family or closest friends. Some will be missing their work colleagues as the workforce realigns itself to the new rules, home working and juggling a family life with their respective careers. But in all of this, we know that you, dear Father, are always there with us through the good times and the not so good. So as we leave church today, this very morning, we can reflect on the reading we heard and remember the comforting words of, "Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near." Amen.
Well, let's continue in prayer. Let's continue in prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Let's say together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen."
Well, good to see you all this morning, and my thanks go to Roy and John for this morning's worship and teaching. I've been enjoying a half-term break with my family, and hope that the young people in our church have had a good week off as well. Please join me online at 11:30 this morning for our regular virtual coffee. Is my mic on? It is good to recognise the importance of being church for one another in our relationships. That goes for any season, but particularly during the COVID restrictions. We need to be church for one another. And Zoom coffee is a great opportunity to do that. We can connect with one another and find out how we're doing during these difficult times. And also, of course, we can be doing that in our growth groups as well. The All Saints Club is taking a break for a couple of weeks and will resume again online on the 22nd of November. New national restrictions were announced last night, and this means that places of worship will be closed through November. Our 10 a.m. Sunday services will continue to be broadcast online, but there'll be no in-person attendance at the Fordham Church building, except that is for the few people involved in delivering and broadcasting the services. Next weekend will be Remembrance Sunday. The published acts of worship at the two villages can no longer take place. So the service will be broadcast at 10 a.m. and the act of remembrance at 11 a.m. will take place here in the church as well. Now, it may be possible for us to have a drive-in service this month, but I'm not yet fully clear if this is permissible, and I'll let you know about that in due course. This Wednesday, please join me for our monthly prayer focus evening on the 4th of November. Please note that we've moved it to Wednesday because of Christianity Explore, which is currently running on Thursdays. We will pray asking God to strengthen the ministries of our church. We'll pray for the growth of God's kingdom in our nation at this difficult time. And Mark Wallace will be joining us on Zoom to lead us in prayer for the life of St. Peter's Church in Colchester. I'll send the Zoom link out on Tuesday. We haven't published a prayer diary for November. And please pray for the right person to be found who could continue this helpful ministry. Someone who has time each month and appropriate skills and vision for the task. Oak Hill College are offering flexible learning modules which can be taken online. And details of next year's modules from February to May are on the back of this week's notice sheet. 17 modules are listed, including evangelism and apologetics, wisdom literature, Islam, and evangelical public theology for mission. These are a great opportunity for you to develop your understanding and application of scripture, and they can help you to grow in your ability to serve in God's kingdom. So do have a think about whether you might be able to use the ministry of Oak Hill. The closing date to register is the 5th of January next year. And finally, the Christian Institute are holding online evenings next week on the subject of identity. These will apply a biblical worldview to contemporary issues of gender identity, the sanctity of all human life, and God's design for the family. They'll be on Wednesday the 11th and Thursday the 12th of November, and each of them will last 1 hour. Details of how to connect on Zoom will be published in next week's notice sheet. Great to see you this morning.
We finish our service with a verse from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that these words may be true for us today. Amen.
Still for the glory.